The U.S. Supreme Court is expected to issue its ruling any day now in King v. Burwell. The ruling will answer the question of whether health insurance exchange subsidies are limited to those states with their own exchanges. If subsidies are limited to the 17 states that established exchanges under the Affordable Care Act, 6.4 million people could lose their insurance subsidies, including some 19,000 people in South Dakota. U.S. Senator Mike Rounds is among the co-sponsors of Republican legislation that could help Americans who could lose their health care coverage, depending on how the court rules. I spoke with Senator Rounds earlier this morning about the Patient Freedom Act and other pieces of health care legislation being proposed by Senate Republicans. Well, Senator, thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us on Dakota Midday.
Oh, I appreciate the opportunity.
The Patient Freedom Act legislation has been introduced. You're a co-sponsor of that. What is in this bill?
This is a transition away from the government-run Affordable Care Act into a market-based product that I think most people would prefer. It keeps some of the protections that we had in South Dakota before the Affordable Care Act was put in. Just as an example, I'll give you a couple of items on it. It would not have an individual mandate in it. It would not have an employer mandate in it. It would eliminate the federal essential health benefits mandate that's there and allow for innovation in the marketplace itself. So you could pick and choose kind of the coverages that you would like from a cafeteria of different coverages, just like you could beforehand. The states could choose to receive a funding either on a per capita patient grant basis or a federal tax credit, depending upon the state's preference. But unlike Obamacare, this funding would go directly to patients to make their decisions. It would still protect individuals, the basic protection so that you're guaranteed renewable, and there would be portability built into the plan so that you could shop from one company to another. Those are the things that I really like.
Now, is this designed to replace the Affordable Care Act, or is it a reform of it?
This would replace it. And you can talk about reform, but the reality is it is so significantly different that I think most people would say that it's probably more of a replacement. I've always talked about how we handle the Affordable Care Act by saying that you have to repeal it section by section. And the reason why I talk about it that way, just to give an example, the Affordable Care Act said that if you were a young person, you could stay on your family's insurance until you were to the age of 26. But under South Dakota guidelines, we said, well, if you're a student, you could stay on until you were age 29. And so you want to go through them piece by piece and find out which are the best and which ones actually work in the marketplace and which ones don't work in the marketplace. The employer mandate clearly is not working. The individual mandate is not working. An example of the individual mandate is one of the carriers actually in South Dakota actually indicated that people who had signed up, picked it up, were provided coverage, took advantage of the coverage, and then canceled their coverages when they were done. Just simply ignored it. We think right now that if you eliminate the Affordable Care Act, you start out by increasing the economy over the next 10 years by about 0.7%, and your employment would grow by about 2.5 million people. So those are the types of things we're trying to get at. We want to grow the economy, but we also want to have a consistent message out there that helps people to actually be able to afford to buy insurance. The Affordable Care Act said that it would save people $2,500 per family. Clearly, the cost has not gone down. In fact, some of the estimates are it's actually gone up by almost $5,000 already, and more increases are already being proposed by these same carriers beginning January 1st.
So with the Patient Freedom Act, the states get to decide which approach they want. As I understand it, there's the three options, continuing with the Affordable Care Act, establishing a state exchange, or enacting this Patient Freedom Act.
Correct. And in doing so, it allows each state to look at what their geography is, what the coverages are available, what the social background of the individual states is. You know, we do our best work in the United States when we allow the states to pick and choose and become laboratories for checking out different types of things. And then we learn from one another. And in South Dakota, before the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare was in place, we had 93% of our people with a plan for their health care coverages. That was one of the best in the nation, but the coverages were there. there was a challenge saying, okay, look, how do we go after that other 7%, and what is the cost to bring them in to play on this? We think the Affordable Care Act, by putting in mandates and so forth, actually drove the cost up to the point where people that did have their coverage were told that they couldn't keep their coverage because the products were no longer available to them under the Affordable Care Act, because the specific coverages they had chosen individually, the Affordable Care Act would no longer allow to be offered to them. They had broader coverages and required more items to be covered than what their original plan had. It was part of that old adage, you know, you can, you know, if you like your insurance, you can keep it. And then we found out that that was not the case. That was probably one of the more irritating things that people in South Dakota found out.
Now, one of the ideas behind the Affordable Care Act was to get more people insured. Is that something that you see happening with the Patient Freedom Act, that you'll get more people health insurance, affordable health insurance?
On a voluntary basis, yes. What we're trying to do is set it up so that for those individuals who are working and they simply don't have the resources to come up with the money for health care, this is kind of a transition out of the Medicaid dollars and up in, you know, for those individuals that have no resources, up into that area where you have certain resources available to you, you're working, and yet the cost of health care is such that it really puts a burden on your budget, that these subsidies transition out of complete payment under Medicaid into partial payments with your income levels.
What happens with this act if the Supreme Court rules against subsidies in states like South Dakota with their own health insurance exchanges? Do you expect this legislation to start moving forward?
There are three different proposals that most of us on the Republican side are looking at. All of them protect individuals who are getting coverages now, but who would lose coverage because of the way the law was originally written. And so what all of the three plans do is they offer either a transition off of Obamacare with coverages being provided through 2017, or they transition on a permanent basis, such as this particular product does, away from the Affordable Care Act and still providing for assistance for individuals that need it. But all of the three actually come through it. The basic one, the one that I think is probably the easiest to understand, would say, look, over a period of 18 months, we would provide you with COBRA coverage, which is similar to what happens to an employee if they leave an employer. They have guaranteed acceptance with their current plan, and then through another little utilized federal plan, there's a trade assistance. There was a plan that said that the federal government could actually pick up, in lieu of an employer, those subsidies over that 18-month period of time, which would get us through into February at least of 2017, and a new administration who's probably a little bit more interested in working through any conversions out of the Affordable Care Act. So it would still, that's the least amount. That would be the least amount of the bridge. But both this particular plan and another one, which is being offered, Ron Johnson's got another one, which I also have an interest in, but there's the Patient Freedom Act, which is the one that you and I are just talking about, that Senator Bill Cassidy has been working pretty hard. And then there's one called Preserving Freedom and Choice in Healthcare, which is the Johnson bill. And I have an interest in that one as well, but that offers a little bit more of a transition as well for an extended period of time. In all three Republican plans, nobody who has coverage today gets their coverages canceled.
So there's some room, depending on how the Supreme Court rules on this.
Absolutely. The problem that we're running into is the administration has absolutely no plan in place if the court rules against the government. I mean, if the court comes back and says, look, it's too far gone, and even though it says that you've got to have a state exchange in place, you know, we're going to look the other way. You know, at that point, all the discussion here is moot, and it's simply a matter of, you know, what do we do in the future to fix the long-term problems associated with this Affordable Care Act. All the discussions we're having right now are, What if the Supreme Court looks back on this and says, yeah, you screwed it up when you wrote the law in the first place, which is what a lot of us contend. You got 34 states out there with millions, about 6.4 million people, who through no fault of their own trusted that the government would do it right and who would then get dumped on. And, you know, there'd be over 16,400 or 16,500 people in South Dakota who could lose their coverages if we don't do something about it. And that's what these plans do. In all three cases, these folks are protected. Their coverages can remain in place. There would still be assistance for them under the plans in all of the Republican alternatives.
You're listening to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. My guest is Senator Mike Rounds. And Senator, if the court rules against the subsidies, do you expect that any Democrats will support this legislation we've been talking about?
We don't know. The administration's position is they will veto anything that we send them. I don't know how strong the Democrats will support that. You know, there were some Democrats who really... they understand that the need would have to be to address the court case. What we'd like to be able to do is to put a bill on the president's desk with more than 67 senators supporting it. And it will, you know, time will tell as to whether or not he would actually then veto it. But we know there's got to be a change. We know that this is his signature bill. We know he's told us very clearly that he's not going to agree to anything that we propose. But, you know, he said that in the past as well, and then he's come around as we get closer to the end. So we think there might be some hope there that he'll take a look at it and decide he's going to try to save parts of what he had in his original bill and try to negotiate. So far, doesn't sound that way, but you never know until you get down to that point.
If the Supreme Court rules in favor of the subsidies, keeping the Affordable Care Act the way it is, what happens with the legislation that you've been discussing? I know you said a lot of it will be moot, but do you think some of these ideas in these plans, that they'll still have a life, that they'll still be discussed?
Yes, long term, we have to change the Affordable Care Act long term. Our economy can't pay the bill for it. It discourages employment. It reduces employment. It's a heck of a draw on the economy itself. It has to be changed. There isn't anybody up here that thinks it can go on long term. The question is what about the immediate issue between now and 2017, when this president is out of office and the next administration comes in that doesn't have their name tied to the law? If they say that the subsidies are okay to remain in place, then we just simply don't have that deadline. And the new deadline will be, what do we do when this president is out of office so that we don't have the drag on the economy that this particular law currently imposes?
How much discussion and agreement is there among Republicans regarding the pieces of legislation that we're talking about?
Most of the Republicans have looked at them saying, well, we just got to figure out which one of the three alternatives is the best and which one can we get past the House of Representatives as well. The more of the discussion that we've had is the House just really wants to repeal Obamacare, and they'd really like the states to be able to just go back and to decide for themselves. But we also know that we in the Senate, we're very concerned, and we want to make certain that whatever we do, people that trusted the government and actually bought their insurance through the exchange, we want to make sure they don't get hurt. And I think there's a number of House members that feel the same way about it, but philosophically, they hate the thought of having any kind of subsidies involved. So we're trying to find that middle ground where we continue to help people that really need the help to be able to afford their health care. And the basic philosophical thing saying government does nothing except add expense, we don't make it more efficient, so why are we in it at all? And that's really where the discussion is going to be, is between the House and the Senate. Among Republicans, there's a lot of us that are saying, look, we'll work with the team to find the best alternative. If we've got a deadline out there, we most certainly don't want people to get hurt, so whatever we do, we got to make sure that we have a plan in place that will protect these folks so they don't lose their coverage. Second of all, we've got to begin the process of eliminating the damage that is being caused by Obamacare. We got to get people back to work. We've got to get the drain off the economy. It's about a $1.7 trillion impact right now. And once we can draw that off and kind of move that off to the side, the economy starts to grow again. There's a lot more jobs out there again, and incomes start to rise once again. And we kind of get that bureaucracy off the backs of doctors. We start letting doctors negotiate with insurance companies and with patients and families to pick those coverages that the families and the patients want, and not drive up the price by requiring them to buy products that they don't want. That's, you know, and so it's a matter of where can we get the consensus in a short period of time for a product that we think the House would also agree with us, so that we can put it on the president's desk. We'll probably use reconciliation, the process of reconciliation, which means we can do it with a 51-vote margin in the Senate and a 51% margin in the House. But we're open for discussion with the Dems to try to find an amenable program to bring some of them on board. That's what we'd really like to do.
Well, finally, Senator Rounds, how much anticipation is there right now in D.C. In waiting for the court's ruling in King v. Burwell?
There is no sense of relief that it's coming. There's a real sense of tension because elected officials here in Washington know that if it does strike down the subsidies, that there has to be an alternative provided in order to protect people. So a lot of the people here are really nervous about it because they know that they're going to have to perform. And, you know, I mean, for as much as we talk about it, we don't really know what the precise alternative is until after the court says, you know, exactly what has to happen with the plans that are out there. So we're kind of waiting, trying to figure out, you know, how many different options do we have to have ready, and how much time will the court give us? The common discussion here is they'll probably, you know, there's hope that they'll give us 60 days from the point in which to get something in place. Well, if you add 60 days on to the end of this, it gets you well into maybe even February of 2017, which means you'd actually have time to work with the new administration to put a permanent plan in effect, as long as you have a temporary fix between now and then. So there's a little bit of relief in that they know they've got a little bit of time to work with it, but they also know that once it does hit, there's going to be a lot of people saying, you knew it was coming. Do you have a plan in place, and what is your plan? So there'll be a lot of discussion and a lot of debate in a very short period of time about which one of the plans or combinations of plans would actually work. The one thing that I don't think you'll find is the House, which has voted numerous times, dozens of times, to repeal Obamacare. I just don't think it's in the cards that they're going to simply do a one or a two sentence fix short term to allow the subsidies to continue on when they have an opportunity to really point out how flawed the plan is and the fact that it has to long term be eliminated and replaced.
Well, Senator Rounds, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us on Dakota Midday.
Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity. And I think in the next week here, we should have a little bit more finality in terms of what the options will be that, or what has to be responded to, and then the real hard work begins of trying to find a negotiated settlement that, you know, that takes care of individuals that have been counting on us to help them.